A Miasma of Medical Malady. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Peter Healy, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. In general, things have been pretty good for me. On the whole, I feel pretty good. Lots of energy, lots of focus, lots of opportunities. I take long walks throughout the week. And while staying mobile, I try not to break into all of the pitfalls of previous years. Pulling all-nighters, eating the wrong food for days on end, over-caffeinating, just avoiding all of the additional stresses on top of the regular stress of daily life. While that rosy picture is the case for most of my days, I have bad days as well. I thought I'd talk about where things are with me right now at age 50 and what I think I'm learning about myself from having them. About 2 years ago, I was waiting in line for a Shakespeare play. In Central Park, they have Shakespeare in the Park, and it's free. It's also an incredibly hot ticket. So what people do is stay either overnight or very early in the morning in front of the ticket booth, and then as the hours go by, at noon of the day of performance, they let people in and each person can get a couple tickets. And that night you have a fantastic world-class Shakespeare experience. That waiting is a culture in itself. People bring chairs and air mattresses, books, radios, and they hang out, just passing the time, waiting for noon. People walk up and down the line, offering things for sale, and there's a couple known delis who pass out menus so you can order breakfast sent right to your place in line. It's a thing, including the saxophone guy. A busker who walks up and down the line playing the worst saxophone you could ever imagine, and you pay him to go away. This is a tradition in our family, and we usually come pretty prepared. And I was trying out a brand new way to relax during those hours. There's a very odd chair that is sold at one of those booths full of plastic wonders from other lands. It's a little hard to visualize, but think of a sleeping bag, except it's made of plastic, and the end clamps shut, and what you do is hold this tube open, quickly swing it around, let it fill up with air, and then let go of the clamp, turning it into a kind of inflatable sofa that you can then lie on. It's about $20, and it sort of works. What you can't beat is how compact it can be. You just roll it up, and it basically disappears into whatever you're carrying. So while waiting in line for the show, I was testing out this little plastic toy couch, and so I went out on the grass of the park and swung it around with the idea of filling it up. I slipped on some slick grass and fell on my left shoulder. At the time, it was a little sore, and it was not, by any stretch of the imagination, the first time I had fallen down in my life. I had always internalized it as hitting something, feeling a little bit sore, and then over the course of a few days, getting better. Except, in this case, I didn't get better. It continued to hurt. It continued to not feel right for weeks afterwards. It had swollen up and then knocked down again, but it still felt wrong. I discovered that I had lost movement in that arm. I couldn't actually reach parts of my back that my other arm could. I was actually in some way injured. Now, I've taken some knocks over the years. When I was about 11, I was riding my bike, and I crossed in front of a car that was moving at a pretty good clip, and he couldn't brake in time. and when he struck me across his hood, he sent me flying into a telephone pole. The ambulance insisted I go to the hospital, but when they x-rayed me, nothing was wrong. In fact, by the time my parents showed up to the hospital, I just walked out to greet them. But this, which felt like a minor slip, was not going away. I've had specialists look at it. I've been injected with steroids. I've gone to physical therapy for months. And maybe now, a full 2 years after it happened, I'm starting to get some of the movement back. Certainly it feels better than it used to. But the idea of such a minor thing lingering for as long as it has, that is new. That changes things. That makes me feel differently about this body. Last July, I was in a car accident which could have gone very, very wrong. The damage to the car clearly indicated that if it was not for the matter of some metal, I would most certainly have been decapitated. But what I was instead was jostled from about 20 miles an hour down to zero while wearing a seatbelt. In the months since that accident, long after my car has been repaired, and long after I've had to think about the details, I still feel a twinge of pain throughout my top left shoulder. The reason, I think, is the seatbelt. Pulling as it did, as fast as it did, caused a large amount of strain on my muscles. And just as the other injury seems to have taken years, I have what appears to be months ahead before it stops making me feel, in a very minor way, like I'm having some sort of heart attack. For other people, this is as obvious as it gets. An aging body takes longer to heal. That sort of clinical conclusion has a very different meaning when it's personal. I used to throw myself into incredible areas of danger. I have been in accidents where the car was totaled. I have fallen from great height. I have experienced a lot of physical trauma and walked away from it, moving on to the next thing. In my 30s, I would sleep for an hour a night because I was working on things and had to go to work. I would put myself in very precarious positions, falling asleep while driving, going for hundreds of miles, completely ignoring comforting hotels and motels along the way so that I could fulfill whatever deadline I'd come up for myself. I've slept in or near cars, experimented with bathtubs and floors, trying to find some level of comfort overnight, and all through it, my body has simply healed itself, gotten back on track, and within a week, I'm myself again. But here we are. I'm different than how it used to be. I've stopped thinking about pushing my limits and started to consider where my limits actually are. Through experimentation, very deadly experimentation, I knew that the furthest I could drive was 320 miles in a single day. Anything further than that, and I was literally going to black out at the steering wheel. Now, I'm not 100% sure I could even make that. I know what effect caffeine has on me. I know exactly when it's a really bad idea, the amount that I can lift, the amount that I can push myself trying to get something done alone instead of asking for friends or scheduling a party of folks. It's definitely changed. A few times in the past couple years, I've reached out to people to help me with something that previously I would have done all by myself. And I've said, come here. And in doing so, I have the frustration of having to wait days for things to come together, to be patient and schedule instead of jumping into the fray, into the darkness, figuring I would land however I landed and make the most of it. This has been a very tough journey for me. I love getting things done. I love the idea of facing a problem, a task, an effort, and then plunging into it to make it something that's complete before the day is done. And yet, the price may be a little bit too high. The comedian Norm MacDonald has a joke that says, "We all know what happens after you die. You are found." And so that brings up, where do I want to be found? Do I want to be found halfway between two boxes in a warehouse? Do I want to be found in a ditch trying to make some sort of perceived deadline? Or do I want to be found some other way, having completed everything I could do, having passed off to people all the things I shouldn't be doing, and having succeeded in some way of teaching others what I do, why I do it, and the lessons I've learned, so that regardless of how I am found, the reasons I was where I was, in a body that has rightfully paid the price for all of the risks and the wonders and the experiments and the failures and successes, accomplished exactly what I needed to, until I was quite happy to hand it all over to the next few people running this incredible and inspiring relay race. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Corey Thomas, Emilio Oliveira, Forrest Fuqua, Mark Pilgrim, James Bakoyanu, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I don't know how much longer I have. I don't know how this story ends. But I'm enjoying where this is going. And with a little extra care, I think I can keep the story going for quite some time to come.